Potatoes and stuff.
Yeah, we were gathering potatoes and father was supposed to. I believe it was on the 18th. Must have been November, right? I'm not too sure about that date. But they declared the war had come to an end. And there was some happy time for us.
Did you celebrate and take away right away?
We shouted. Yeah, Mama was so happy. So,
was your father?
He missed the army, I guess, by 1 week. He'd been in the army, but the war has continued. So if he had bought one mule, one half wagon, so he had turned that back. But there were some happy days for us, and all the communities, they rung the bell, they shot the gun, and just had a ball. But I'm going to come back to World War II.
Sure, go back to that.
The local bowl, and I think I have that little bit there. Preferred me, as I said, to work on the home front. But I didn't have a farm. I had a white friend here, Mr. Homer Banninger. They told me to get in touch with him after I told him. And if he could use me on the farm, well, I could come down here and then carry on my other duties of the patriotic service. So I got this man to vouch for me, and he got in touch with the local board there in Warrington, North Carolina, and said he would give me work. Because I had work with him and my father prior to this day. So I came here and was one day and nothing to do, so I went to Detroit, Michigan, and went to work in Murray Biter. That's the name of the place. It was 365,000 people working there, making parts for airplanes and other parts for the army, whatever. So I worked there 3 days. I had to take a test to get in there. I worked there 3 days, and we were loading scrap aluminum on train car box, 40 men, 20 on each side. Mm. And being a farm boy and knowing something about the gin house, where my daddy used to work, product, I told him I thought they were wasting time. And he was 15 officials interviewed me, even the top official, Mr. Charlie Brown, the top man of all ever. And they'd ask me questions about what did I have in mind about getting a rubber hose and a little machine and blow that scrap aluminum in the Foster. And after talking about an hour and a half, they tried my idea, and it worked. And that took every man away from that job except one. One man could do what the 40 was doing. And so they gave me a lifetime job, but I didn't accept it. I came back to North Carolina to teach. And I was back there 1 year and became principal of the school. It was 22 teachers, about 700 kids. And I worked in that job from 1972, when I retired. And that's when I came back here. And on my retirement, they gave me a 1972 paid up Cadillac. That's something that never happened there before. And I delivered the first baccalaureate summer in the school after we integrated to school. I delivered the first Negro to deliver my address. School address. And I got that in the paper here somewhere, and I'll finally let you see it.
You were the very first one to do that, first Negro.
And should have been the second one, but I didn't want to be greedy. I let a friend of mine that lived in another county.
Okay, Mr. Washington, You said before you all were all Baptists. What church did you attend?
Well, when we were in Anderson County, we attended New Hope Church. That's our home church. And here, we attend Ebenezer Baptist Church, which I'm an associate pastor.
And who was the member, the minister of your church when you were little?
We had a Dr. E. Walker. And then from there, we went to Dr. Daniel. I don't remember his first name. He was out of it. Greenwood Hospital. And the last one while we were down there was the late Dr. H.W.D. Stewart.
Did these men live near the church? Did they have homes?
Well, some of them did. The Walker fellow did. He was one of the founders. I think he was in that founders group when the church was organized.
Did they have?
And they lived 4 or 5 miles away. And they drive in buggies and horses.
Did they have to have other kinds of employment besides being a preacher?
Some of them were farmers.
Mm-hmm. And back then, what kind of training would a man like that have to be a preacher?
Well, in the Baptist, they say you're called.
They say you're called?
They say you're called, and then you do.
Did they not have to go to school then?
Well, some of them did, some few of them, but most of them stopped school in 3rd or 4th grade.
What other churches do you remember that were important when you were young, besides Baptist? Do you remember any others?
Well, I went to a Presbyterian school in Charlotte, and it was very outstanding. And then I associated with the minister in the Methodist church. And then I got to know one or two that was in the Holiness Church.
Did any of these churches have cemeteries right with the church?
Most of them.
Do you remember any camp meetings when you were young?
Yes. I used to go to a camp meeting. They used to have them here in this county, about 6 miles from here. And we would have sometimes 2,000 or 3,000 people or something.
What time of year were they held? Summer?
In the summer months.
And how long would a meeting last?
Well, they'd go on about 5 days.
Did people travel or stay overnight then?
No, they didn't stay overnight. But they'd come in the daytime, spend all day. They'd be selling and fighting, different things.
Fighting?
Oh, yeah.
Why would they be fighting?
Well, that was the nun church group.
Oh, they were the ones that were fighting.
Yeah, they probably out there selling whiskey.
Oh, you mean while you were having the camp meeting, were selling stuff around?
That's right.
Who would lead the services in your camp meeting?
Well, preachers and deacons and missionaries and so on.
Did any members of different churches attend the camp meetings, or was it just one group that you remember?
And all denominations in the community.
They would all get.
That's right.
Do you remember any older relatives talking about their camp meetings when you were young, and were they different in any way, or
no,
did they have any good stories?
The only one I know about was here in this county. I used to go to stand around and listen.
Did any of you all buy some of that liquor that was being sold?
I was too young. I didn't have no money anyway, but they cut up lemon on the liquor and the fuck thing of lemonade.
Oh, they would think it was
long. That's right.
Who bought it? Who bought this?
Well, it was all kind of folk out there, you know. Some of them out there gambling, shooting pool. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Playing
crafts.
That's
right. That kind of thing.
And sometimes they fall out and fight a little too. They enjoyed it.
Were your ladies horrified? The women? Did they?
The women didn't participate.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was the men. young men.
Did you ever attend singing conventions when you were young?
I went to a few singing conventions.
Did you have a favorite song when you were like a little boy or a young man growing up?
Not necessarily.
Do you remember any old songs that your, say, your mother sang or your aunts or sisters?
Well, I remember one, Blessed Assurance. That was my mother's favorite. And Jesus Paid It All, Rock of Ages. We have no hymns. We don't have any hymns in our churches now. We have this fast music. You don't know what to say.
Oh, the rock and roll stuff? Did you ever attend a singing school when you were young? No. Were there any occasions that you remember when you were young or little that black and white people came together to worship?
No, that went out before my day. They used to have integrated services.
You mean they actually had integrated services before it?
Yeah, under Brett Hall.
Oh.
They used to go few from here. And all our schools, churches, and the whites have built most of them.
The whites have built your church?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What kind, when you were in church, what kinds of groups did you have in church? Like men's groups or with any kind of youth groups or women's groups?
Yes, we had that sometimes. We have that now.
But how would they have been different? I mean, were they different in any way back then?
Well, you had the age group. Somebody would lecture to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible. Sometimes crafts. And, so. And we have that now.
And when you were a child, I may have asked you this before, you may have hit on it, but where did you go to school when you were a child?
Well, my first school was at New Hope, right at New Hope Baptist Church.
And where was that located?
That was 3 miles east of Belton. I went to there.
And the school was in the church?
The school was on the church grounds.
Okay.
And
could you describe the building for me?
Well, it was a one-room building. We had 150 children in there, grades 1 through 7, with one teacher. And when you got up some size, you go out in the woods and pick up wood, old rotten wood, and that's how you had to fire. But my father was a spirited citizen. He bought 2 tons of coal on the floor. And we had some good fire. But all the back of our room was chunks, things that we could burn, limbs or something, that we picked up out of the woods.
What kind of desks and things did you have in your school
room? Well, they made the desks for the parents. They were kind of rude, but they asked the purpose of it. Because what was so sad, and yet it was a blessing in a way, because children could learn from all groups. One teacher with 150 children.
Oh.
Grades 1 through 7.
Wow. How long was the school day?
3 months long. 3 or 4 months long.
That was the school year. The school year was 3 months long. How long was the day then? What time did you start in the morning and end in the afternoon?
You start in the morning about 8 o'clock and stay there until 4.
Did you have a lunch break or lunchtime?
Yes, we carried our lunch. They were 10 boxes.
What kind of lunch did your mama pack?
Well, we had a ham, sausage, like that. It's better than what we have now.
Sure.
Sometimes chicken. Our folk had plenty of chicken. So we got along exceptionally well, but the only thing that was so sad. Mm-hmm. For children,
so grade
with one teacher.
Did she divide? Did she put older children in charge of different groups?
No.
No? Oh, she did.
But when she had order, they were good disciplinary. But she'd teach her first grade, second grade, third grade, and then they would study, and then they'd listen to other things, and some of them grew very rapidly. Because they were exposed to so much teaching.
Yeah.
And then we had our recess, that was about an hour long.
How did you group those first grade, second grade, third grade? Were they in different parts of the room?
That's right. They were seated together. Mm-hmm. Graded.
What about in your recess? You were just beginning to tell me about that. What did you do at recess?
Well, we played ball, sometimes fight.
Y'all love to fight.
And then we'd wrestle. We'd shoot marbles.
What did the girls do?
Well, most of the time they played ball. They had their own playground for the ball.
How did you dress to go to school?
Well, same dress we had all the time, overall. Good, because they had dresses and so forth. We didn't play together. We was boys, had that little playground.
And how far did you live from your school?
I lived, I guess, about 3 miles.
Mm-hmm. And who was this teacher that you had that had so many children?
This was a Mrs. The first year it was a Mrs. Miss Williams. The next year it was Mrs. Lucy Lattimore. And after she left, we had a Miss Cooley. Anna Cooley. I don't know when I moved from right now.
Did they live close by?
Yeah, about a mile.
Did they live? Did they live with people, or they have their own place?
They had their own home.
Do you know what kind of training that these teachers might have had?
Well, they finished high school. See, my two oldest sisters. Back then, you could take a test in the seventh grade. If you passed it, that's an arithmetic. Reading, writing, and maybe something like that. If you made a good grade, the superintendent of education will give you that test. If you pass it, you can teach.
Did your parents attend school, your mom and dad?
Oh, yeah. Dad got to the ninth grade. My mother got to sixth grade, as I understand. And then my dad was given a scholarship to go to Benedict College.
He was.
But he didn't go. But his friend and his buddy, Dr. Lattimore, went. He was an outstanding doctor. He practiced while in South Carolina, and then he went to Georgia.
And this was a friend of your
that's
father?
Right. Yeah.
Did your father not go for economic reasons? Have to stay home and work or help?
Well, he didn't want to get married.
Oh, he wanted to get married. Did they ever talk about their school? Was it different from yours?
Well, so they decided, Mom and Papa decided that after they didn't go to school, my Mama and Daddy could have sent her, and Daddy could have been sent her, but they were good liberals. They wanted us to go to school, my mother and father. So it'd be best for these children to go to school than it would be to come out of school and try to buy a little something so they could make a better living. And every one of us finished school.
Every one of you and your brothers all finished school?
All my sisters. I didn't have any brothers.
Oh, that's right. How many went on to college in your family?
Three, and one went in nursing. I had three sisters and teachers, and they married preachers. So they were in the professional world.
So not only did your sisters go to school, but their husbands also went to college.
All of them finished college and theology.
But that was pretty unusual in your day, wasn't it?
To have
such an educated family?
It beat what we had here because a lot of the children didn't go to school like we did. But we were encouraged from our youth up by our family to get an education. And you can take care of yourself. And that's how we went to school. And that's what caused us to move to this county. See, school where I crossed. For my household.
What was the name of the school that was right across?
Seneca Institute. And then, as I told you, I really went into college. That's my degree.
At the Seneca Junior College,
that's
diploma.
Right. But I just finished high school there. Mm-hmm. Then I went to college.
Then you went to college.
And the same way with my sister. They finished high school there, all except one. the baby girl in high school, the Oklahoma County Training School. And then she took 2 years over here. And then she went to South Carolina State. And then she went to North Carolina A&T College in Greensboro and got her master's degree. Mm-hmm. Well, my wife and I went to Wayne State University in Detroit, mm-hmm. and we got our master's.
You got your master's too in Detroit?
Oh, I sure did. Wayne State University.
Did anybody else in your family get a master's?
Well, my wife.
Your wife? Well.
And my sister. Tall. They got their master's.
And where was your wife educated before she got her master's?
She educated in Oxford, North Carolina, in a Presbyterian high school. Then she went to Winston-Salem and got her degree in elementary and grammar degree education. And then she went to South Carolina State and got a degree in English.
And you all worked your way through, right? You're doing all of you.
Yeah, I took 3 9-week summers at South Carolina State in agriculture. But see, when we went to North Carolina, I didn't follow the agriculture part. But I did like on 8 hours. Mm. But I went to Wayne State instead of coming down here. And I got my master's. Secretary of Education, and also in the earlier grades. And I worked there in that one school for a long time. And then after I retired, I went to Shaw University. I got a master's degree in theology. But I started on that when I was in school. So I went back to that.
Who was the first person that you know of in your family to attend college? Was it you and your generation, you and your sisters? Or had someone gone before?
I knew some friends. Mm-hmm. It's a lady here in Montana, Payne. She was the first youngster that I saw attending college, along with Miss Klinsky. And then a cousin of mine, Kiro Clement. Mm-hmm. There were three girls that I knew, that I first knew was in college. And then my own sister, older sister.
Well, but your sister was the first, went before you then?
She went before me, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she one year ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. Did your family have lots of books at home?
We had most of the books. One we read until we just got tired of reading it. Booker T. Washington, Up from Slavery. That old book around here somewhere now, I think. And we always had a newspaper and one or two magazines.
What kind of magazines? Do you remember the magazines?
I don't remember those magazines. We had a daily newspaper. I believe one of those books was U.S. World Report.
Did all of you, your brothers, your sisters, learn to read early? Were you early readers? Did you read before you got to school, any of you?
Oh, yeah.
You were reading.
We were reading at home. The time we got out of second grade.
Oh, very good.
And one of my sisters was reading before she went to school.
That's what I meant. Some of them could read before they went
to
school.
Yeah. The younger ones, see, they read us, you know.
Did your parents ever read to you at night?
Oh, yes.
Before you went to bed?
At night and in the morning, they give us our spelling. We had spelling a little bit. Mama would teach us with reading and writing. Daddy taught us math. He was a mathematician. He had a splendid mind. Splendid mind. And so they taught us to love school.
Were they very strict with you and you had to do your lessons?
Yes. You did. Back then, if you didn't do your work, the teacher would tell you. Or your sisters, the brother would tell them.
They kind of
kept you in straight line.
Did any of you get beat with a stick or spanked or were you good students and didn't miss
We were good students, but I had a time with math. You know, you bar and numbness, there's about 15 of us. And my teacher had been working for about a week, and she got tired. But you could do corporal punishment back then, you know. So she told me, said, "If you don't know this lesson tomorrow, I'm going to get to it. But we've been trying to teach you this for a week." And so we were all at the blackboard. And that lady came down with that hickory she was hitting. Before she got to me, I hollered, "Eureka!" That's all it took to keep me from getting that leak, too. I know we'll forget that. So I said, "That copper punishment does help."
It helped me. Did you have to finish schoolwork and chores before you were allowed to have things to do?
That's right. We all had something to do at home.
What were some of your jobs at home that y'all had to do?
Well, I had to shell corn for the mules, build mules, cows, water. All we had to weigh all the hand. My sisters had to mill, some had to cook, and everything. Everybody had a job.
Did your teachers ever talk about, well, it would have been colored history then, did they ever talk about famous black men and women back in school?
Very little.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unfortunate. I had finished college before I knew very much other than what we read in Booker T. Washington's book of slavery. The man who founded the school out here, Dr. J.J. Stiles, he's the man that called me to go to read Negro history. And I was in theology. Well, I was right after. Yeah, I was in theology at the time. But I didn't go in theology after I retired. But that man was a brilliant man. And I want to tell you this. He left here and went to something, Morris College. That school is supported by the blacks of South Carolina. Mm. He left there and went to Benedict College. And Benedict's family was white. They gave him that land for a school as long as they had a school. Dr. Stiles was making a speech up here, and hear what he said. He said, "You know, I built a three-room school. So it got burned. And my trustees was out there laughing at me. So what are you going to do now?" And he didn't show any signs of help. White folks and senators heard about the fire and loaded their wagon with everything imaginable that they figured that we would need, and brought it here to the school. See, they had.
Was this the Seneca School, Vince?
School right across, I still the spot.
Yeah.
And it says, "Now, Dr. Stiles, you make a list of your needs and come over there and get it. And forget about faith. And it's part of the number." He said, "Now, we are a reading English race of people." I'm talking about Negro.
Right.
He said, "I doubt seriously that we will ever be a civilized race of people." Now, I've seen that come true.
You sure have.
We can learn. We learn books, I think, is in one. But we so mean to one another. And they be so sensitive. Until we are our worst enemies. Now, it pains me to say that. But I've seen everything that Dr. Stark said out there, come true.
Mm. You sure have.
I've been through it. I'm in lawsuits now, Bob.
Oh. Do you remember how white schools were? Oh, I know. I want to ask something else. Did you ever read to the class? Did they ever read to the class the works of black authors? Any of your teachers ever read black books written by black writers or colored writers?
Occasionally they did, but they didn't. That training was limited, you know. But the relation with whites in some places was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Were the white schools much different from the black schools?
Yeah, they ran long. Well, we were running 4 months. They were running 7 months. And when we were running 7 months, they were running 9 months. So that was a big difference, big gap there.
Yeah. How about when your parents were young? Even bigger gap?
Oh, yes. Yeah, if you take my grandmama, could read and write and figure. She never went to school a day in her life.
But she was who taught her?
Well, I think the white people taught her. And she was with Miss Ann Dean. They were rich. So she was brought up in their home. Went that love time.
Do you remember any educational groups or organizations in your community? You know, when you were small.
Well, the church carried on